This is Worship First Podcast with Reverend Eleanor Coleman, pastor of First United Methodist Church in College Station, Texas. We thank you for joining us today and hope that this message inspires you. And remember, God is with you wherever you go. Please join us for a word of prayer.
Awesome God, we thank you for the gift of this day. God, we thank you for your grace that is so very sufficient. God, we bless your name at the start of this Advent season and on this first Sunday where we consider the hope that Christ brings. God, our hope is in you. Our hope is in you. Revive our souls, restore our faith, strengthen our hope this day. God, we pray for all of those who are in need in any way, all of those who need encouragement, all of those who need healing, all of those who are in search of miracles and breakthroughs, oh God. Help them to hold on to hope. Help them to hold on to you. It's in Christ's holy name that we pray. Amen.
We serve a generous and giving God, so don't forget to worship through your giving. You can give online by visiting firstcollegestation.org and clicking on the Giving tab. Remember FIRST as in the number ST. The ability to give is as close as your smartphone when you text GIVE to 979-399-8303 or download the Ministry One app. Don't forget, you can still give using the QR code on the bulletin online or mail your checks to the church at 1125 Welburn Road, College Station, Texas 77840. Thank you for your generosity.
Oh, The Bible says, if God is all you have all you need. Now let's join Miss Wendy Peterson as she explores this topic further.
Today's message is simply nothing less. We are talking from Psalms 23. We've been looking at it throughout the month. There aren't very many verses there, but certainly a whole lot to look at. Today, we're going to look at Psalms 23 from the Message translation, and I'll actually read it in its entirety. Psalm 23 says, God, my shepherd, I don't need a thing. You have bedded me down in lush meadows. You find quiet pools to drink from. True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Even when the way goes through Death Valley, I am not afraid. When you walk at my side, your trusty shepherd's crook makes me feel secure. You serve me a six-course dinner right in front of my enemies. You revive my drooping head. My cup brims with blessing. Your beauty and love chase after me every day of my life. I'm back home in the house of God for the rest of my life. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for this day. In the season of Thanksgiving, in the season of Advent, God, we're truly thankful for all you've done, all you're doing, and that yet to come. God, I ask that you guide my footsteps. Lord, allow the message to not just touch me, but that someone might hear something, a word from you, so that our lives are changed, rearranged for your glory. You are so good and so awesome, God. And for that, we simply say thank you. We expect nothing less from a good, good shepherd that only wants the best for his children. So be with us, Lord, guide us. Walk with us and talk with us is our prayer. In Jesus' name we pray, and all in agreement said, amen. So hopefully, during this Thanksgiving season, you were able to sit around at a table, a card table, a coffee table, a countertop, a laptop, however you were able to eat, something that obviously 2020 changed things. Everybody didn't have a gathering place, or we weren't supposed to, last year. But this year, hopefully, you loved on one another just a little bit more, that you valued, that you were thankful, that you were grateful just a little more than you've been before. Because life as we've known it has been completely changed. From ordering groceries, you know, to avoid going in the grocery store, having them delivered to your house, Uber Eats, DoorDash, running all over the place so we don't even have to be in person to go eat. Self-quarantining from face masks to face shields and masks. Gloves, hand sanitizers, wipes, Clorox, Lysol, paper towels, and toilet paper shortages. We've seen it all. Even in worship service, from conference lines to parking lot to Zoom. God is doing a new thing. Can you not see it? For the last 20 months or so, he's been doing a new thing. Perhaps the old thing wasn't working. Maybe we weren't doing it enough or doing it the right way. Everything came to a screeching halt. The one place that I feel we could ever feel truly safe was in God's house, and that's the one place we couldn't even gather in. But we had to make some rearrangements, some adjustments. That's what we do, we adjust. Because we're not in control. God is. Amen. So we expect nothing less from a good, good shepherd to walk with us as he's done and is still doing. So for all those times where maybe you may have felt hopeless, even felt like wanting to give up, Psalms 23 brings an undeniable hope and a promise. It's relationship 101. It's supply and protection. It's security. It's healing. It's guidance and it's commitment all wrapped up into one. For the past few Sundays, we've gone through Psalms 23. And when I spoke with Pastor Colvin, it's a little difficult when you have four Sundays, three speakers, and six verses. So you're going to hear some repeat, and maybe that's by design. David is supposed to be the psalmist that we're talking about, and he's giving all these shout outs about the good shepherd. The Lord is the shepherd of his people, and we are his sheep. He goes before us, and we're supposed to follow him. He's the leader, not us. The sheep hear his voice, and they follow him, or at least that's the way it's supposed to go. So let's look a little closer at Psalm 23. When you look at each of the verses, I seem to tune in a little bit to verse 4 because that seems to be the one that has us doing something. We're actually walking. And we're supposed to keep going. The great shepherd is pretty much doing everything else. Kind of neat, huh? We get to just be walking. That brings me hope, and it's certainly promise. See, he lets us know that when things happen, and we obviously know they will, you and I are never left alone, not to figure it out all by ourselves. He's got you, he's got me, he's actually got the whole world in his hands, and that's a promise. Trials, tribulations, pandemic, divorce, grief, hunger, war, no matter what, our shepherd has a plan and a way through it. See, we may not be able to escape everything that happens in this world, but the promise is we will be able to get through it with his help and guidance as our shepherd. It should give us hope. Yes. We're also actually in the season of Advent, which brings on expectancy. Kind of like a mother that is expecting a baby for the first time. You're anxious. You're afraid, you're sad and happy, you're glad all at once. And if we're completely honest, the first time around, we're not certain really what to do. How do you care for this living being? What if they don't like this? What do we teach them? And then there are the people around us, our friends, our family. What if they don't have kids or grandkids? And they don't really understand why we're always giving shout outs for our kids. Mine is cute. Mine is the best athlete. Look at all the pictures. I got 200 of them today. They may not understand that. Let me put a pin there for a second. I've got a confession to make. Now, I was forced to actually have to look in the mirror on this one. You all know that I love my girls more than I can put into words. And I'm blessed beyond measure to have wonderful grandchildren. They call me grandmother. Well, in the past week, a very dear friend of mine's daughter had twins. And so this is such an exciting time. This friend and I talk like every day. But once my friend had grandkids, that's all my friend wanted to talk about. So my spectacular and special family and grandkids are not being talked about, and I don't think I like that. Well, I have to be honest, because we're family, and so I can do that. And so, yeah, you can call me out on it. The Good Shepherd actually had to call me out on it and show me the really ugly picture in the mirror, and that was me. I was walking through a very dark place, and he was walking with me, going ahead of me, obviously, to clear out things so that I could see the error of my ways and admit it, which I'm doing to you. Now, I haven't actually done it to my friend, but I'm still praying on that. I'm working on it. I've actually changed course a little bit because I was actually called out on it. But my friend and their the daughter and family are blessed to have such an amazing gift, just like the season of Advent and Christmas. But we all seem to know that it's more than just gifts under a tree, because the greatest gift obviously was given to us more than 2,000 years ago. And there's a promise that we can celebrate all year long. We don't have to wait for the Advent. We don't have to wait to put the tree up. We can celebrate the goodness, the promise that has been given to us. But certainly all year long. No, we're not buying gifts all year long. So make sure the children don't get that message. Okay, so let's get back to verse 5. It says in the Message translation about taking us to a dinner party. Now, last week, Pastor Colvin spoke in reference to the table being land or a pasture for the sheep. And so here we are doing something in reference to maybe more your physical taste buds. You know, those dinner parties, the Christmas ones, when you're invited to Christopher's or Messina Hoff or Texas Roadhouse, you know, celebrating. But it says 6 courses. That's epic. That's what my grandson says. Everything is epic. 6 courses. That's my kind of eating. I'm not shy about eating at all. I love to eat. And so 6 courses. So we're talking hors d'oeuvres and appetizers. We're talking soup and salad. There's a main course, and you know there's at least one side, maybe 2, and a dessert. A whole lot of food. That's Thanksgiving and 2 other holidays wrapped up. But wait a minute, the scripture says that our good shepherd is serving this all up in front of my enemies. What? Why does the Lord want to look out for our enemies? I know you've heard the adage, keep your friends close and your enemies even closer. But we're supposed to be the guest of honor. But the Lord has to reveal to us who these enemies are. Why? Well, perhaps the good shepherd wants us to be on our guard. We have to pay attention. You know, the instructions that are written in black and white that we want to put it together without reading. The red flags that we clearly see but act like we don't until it's too late. Now, here's another thought. If we're boldly honest with ourselves and are aware that enemies exist, there's no way we're inviting them, right? And exactly who could they be? I mean, who's an enemy? What exactly is an enemy? The dictionary states, showing or feeling opposition or hostility towards someone or something. You know, your haters. That's what Pastor Colvin called them. So we're going to call them haters. Co-workers, supervisors, friends, could even be family. Not this family, because that's not how we roll. Literally, that's not how we roll. That's not what we do. We love on one another. We pray for one another. We support one another, because that's what family does. And that's what we do here. Now, they may do it somewhere else as enemies, but that's not how we do it. Okay, so these are people that don't want to see you with anything. They're jealous of you prospering, and if they're honest with themselves, they want what you have. But are they jealous of the real you? Or the one maybe that you put on the social media platform? Because you know on Facebook or Instagram, airbrush, Photoshop, cut and paste. You can be whoever you want to be. You can have whatever you want to have. And if they don't see you often, who knows you really have it? Are they mad that you have all this stuff that they think you got all by yourself? Because they don't really understand that the good shepherd is the one that deserves all the credit. Now, here's the other weird twist. Maybe we're our own worst enemy, because sometimes I think we get in the way of what the good shepherd's trying to do. But that's a whole different story. Perhaps we didn't realize that we had enemies. And so here they are sitting at the table with us. You mean they get to come to the table too? I mean, this is what the word says. See, our good shepherd has us as the guest of honor, but let's keep it in perspective because we want to make things right. See, we say, this is my church. That's my seat. This is my microphone. And that's the door I'm going to usher because why? That's where all the people come in. But let's remember, this is his table, the one he prepares. And just so we don't forget, it's an open table. So that's why the enemies are there, because all are welcome. See, he wasn't the only one that had enemies. He takes care of all the little details, the things we forget. He brings them to the table. He had enemies at his table too. He's making you and I the guest of honor. He's serving us right where they can see it. They've got a front row seat, so they don't have to guess about what's happening. So things didn't turn out like you wanted to. I didn't finish what I started. So what? Raise your head up high and see the hope and promise the Good Shepherd brings to you. He gives this invitation every single day. But all we need to do is respond. How many times do you get an email or a text message or something by snail mail inviting you to something and we take it and put it aside? I'll get to that later. The event passed, you forgot to RSVP. He isn't going to force you to do anything, but he's hoping that you'll come to the table. And once you do, you will see the lavish meal that he has prepared. It's for you, it's for me, it's even for our enemies. Blessings on blessings on blessings, nothing less. Now next, the word says the cup brims, or in other translations, it overflows. So now you have more than enough. That's for this lifetime and the next one. You know, as a child, we always made these elaborate Christmas lists. We used every catalog that came in to find something in there that we felt like we needed. We really weren't in need of anything. They always provided. We always had more than enough. That's exactly what the Good Shepherd does. You can expect nothing less from him. He's letting us know that when maybe we felt like we were lacking or done without, and those were things that we just wanted, not what we needed, because the word says we have everything that we're in need of. God promises that. There's hope. So there's no need to worry. There's abundance in being a sheep in the Good Shepherd's pasture. What you need, he will provide. He promises that at the table. But the promises don't stop there. Next, it says, he anoints my head with oil. At feast in the Bible times, the heads of distinguished guests were anointed with perfume oil. Ladies, you know perfume oil. That's high quality. That's the best stuff. That's the Gucci, not the watered down that you buy at the Walgreens, Dillard's, Macy's, Saks. It's the good stuff. The stuff that when you come in here, I smelled you from back there. It's the good stuff. So you have been hand selected and favored, if you will. So there's purpose and promise here with the anointing. He's marking you. He's marking me as his beloved. And rest assured and remain hopeful that he has big plans for you and I. So, okay, we've gone through the hors d'oeuvres, we've gone through the appetizers, we've done soup, we've done salad, we've done main course with one or two sides and probably some bread. Now we should have a dessert. Thinking of maybe like a hot fudge sundae. I'm not a big dessert person, but a hot fudge sundae, and it always has some toppings. So we're going to go with a couple of toppings, cherry and sprinkles on top. So two more things are mentioned in this psalm. Nothing that money or status can buy. It says goodness or beauty, as this one mentions, and mercy, which they call love. But it says it will be chasing after you. So it's not going anywhere. We didn't even realize we needed it. But now it's chasing after us. Remember, as kids, you played the game, somebody chase, tag, you're it. They're chasing after you. Sometimes they'd hide in places with hide and seek and you couldn't find them. They wanted to give up. Guess what? Goodness and mercy follows you all the days of your life. And that's a promise from the Good Shepherd. So all of this anticipation has been leading up to the final moments. It's time for the big reveal. Now, I know Pastor Colvin says she's an HGTV junkie. Well, guess what your Layla is too. I love HGTV. I could watch it like all day. Chip and Joanna, the Boise Boys, Holmes and Home, Fixer the Fabulous, Tariq El Moussa, but my favorite, Jonathan and Drew Scott, the Property Brothers. Just absolutely love them. I could sit for hours. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. The psalmist says that you get to live with this good shepherd forever. So we figure it's a mansion. Why would it be anything less? Nothing less. And that's a promise. So in closing, I've got a few words from a hymn that I hope will strengthen you and your commitment to the 23rd Psalm. Maybe add it to your daily devotion because there's so much there. The psalm says, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand, nothing less.
Friends, would you take a moment to pray about how God has spoken to you through this message? Seeds have been planted today. God's word does not return void. It goes out and produces fruit. It accomplishes the purposes for which it was sent. Take time to pray about how God is sending you today.
Thank you for joining us. Special thanks to those who support this ministry with their time, talent, and gifts. If you enjoy this podcast, you can subscribe, share with friends, and on your social media stories. Don't forget to tag us at First United Methodist Church, College Station. Peace and God bless.